going to be talking about experiencing God. I brought a book with me that some of you have been through before by Henry and Richard Blackaby and Claudia King called Experiencing God. Some of you are familiar with that. We're going to talk about experiencing God today. And we're going to look at the passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we're going to have some time to read that passage together, okay? And then both Carol and I are going to be sharing today. We feel like we've been experiencing God in our family and in our church family over the last few months and the last few weeks, last few days, last few hours. And we'd like to share that this morning from God's Word, but also from our experience. I liked what Venetia said, that if each one of you had opportunity to be on the microphone to give testimony to what God has done in your life, you could speak volumes on the faithfulness of God. And so we're going to look at some things corporately, collectively, that we're experiencing, but also in our lives and in our family, so that you can reflect on what the work of God in your own life. How many of you know that God is always at work? He doesn't take a break. He is always active in doing what it is that he does. So let's stand together. Let's read together. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. The first verse said, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on earth to your ancestors. And then we read the rest of the verses. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Carol is going to begin our share time this morning after the reading of God's word. The scriptures here that we just read are about the Lord leading his people Israel through the desert into and through the promised land in great victory. And there's many passages that describe this, but we're going to read one other one to you from Exodus chapter 13, for just verse 21 and 22. It says, by day, The Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to guide them by light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the Lord. These people experienced God. Moses initially experienced God. Experiencing God doesn't begin with the community. It begins with the individual. It even doesn't begin with a family. Have you noticed how experiencing God often begins with one individual? We see Moses at the burning bush, and he's experiencing God. He is encountering God. And we know that was tested. He went to Pharaoh. He proclaimed what God had said, how God had revealed himself. And Pharaoh didn't want anything to do with it. He ignored him. He ridiculed him. You know that when you experience God, not everyone's going to jump on your bandwagon. Not everyone's going to understand exactly what it is. So there's going to be a time of testing. But after Moses, it became Moses' family that was experiencing God. Moses' immediate community, his network of family and friends. And then we see later on that all Israel was experiencing God as a result of what began at what is called the burning bush. How many of you have experienced God in your lives? Amen? How many of you are waiting just to experience more of God? Amen? Excited about that? Carol's going to come and start us off, just share with us a little bit about how we as a family have been experiencing God and some thoughts as well from the Word, and then I'll share some more in the same regard. So, Carol, please.
Good morning. I have a feeling that if I asked for a show of hands this morning on how many of us want to experience God in our lives, I think most of us, if not all of us, are going to raise our hands, right? We all want to experience God. But what does it mean to experience God? Is it like a feeling? Is it something like that comes in and overwhelms you and you can't stand? Is that what experiencing, perhaps that happens at times. It's easy to identify those moments in our life when we experience God through miracles, right? Have you ever been in a situation where you couldn't pay your bills or you're in just a mess and all of a sudden something supernatural happens and provision is there and it was never expected and you're like, wow, that was God. And you go and you tell everyone, God supplied for me. Today I experienced God. I experienced a miracle, right? Well, I'm sure that that's what Moses felt when the burning bush, like a bush all of a sudden came on fire and didn't burn up. And then this voice came out of the bush. And he's like, wow, I'm experiencing God today. But what do you think it was like when he went to Pharaoh? And he said, Pharaoh, God told me in a burning bush that didn't get consumed that you need to let my people go. And Pharaoh goes, dude, not. And then Moses goes, ugh, God, didn't I experience you? Like, wait a minute, what was that all about, that burning bush? Has that happened in your life at all where you go through these mountaintop experiences and you're on just living on the mountaintop and then all of a sudden life kind of sets in and the day-to-day monotony and you're paying your bills, you're going to work, you're dealing with difficult relationships, family issues, and then you're like, wow, I wish I could experience God. Do you know that it's God's intention for us not to just experience him in the deliverance, but to experience him in the process until we get to the deliverance? In fact, I believe that that's more significant to experience God in the trials and the testing than the actual deliverance. Anyone can be like hip hip hooray in the deliverance, right? But to experience God in the trial, that's where the difficulty and the stretching of our faith comes. the Israelites. Can you imagine when Moses said, okay, guys, Pharaoh gave the word. Let's go. Pack up your houses. Let's go across the Red Sea. And all of a sudden, the Red Sea parts. Wow. The Israelites went flying across. I bet they turned around and kind of jeered at Pharaoh and made some funny comments and like, yeah, God's with us. Come try to get us now. Then the Red Sea closed, and then they started their journey, and they got water out of a rock. Miracles happened. There was a pillar. Wow, look at that pillar of fire. At nighttime, we can see, and when it moves, we move, and all we have to do is follow it. God is amazing. He's guiding us. And then all of a sudden, they kind of got sick of the same food. Maybe the light was too bright at night, and they couldn't sleep. Maybe the cloud was annoying. They'd rather have a little bit of sun that day than a big old cloud over them guiding them. Living in close quarters, all these thousands and thousands and thousands of people camping out close-knit together. I'm sure they got in some arguments. They're like, oh, what are we doing here in this desert? God told us we were going to be free, and now every day all we do is walk. Walk, walk, walk. When are we going to get anywhere, right? They had a hard time experiencing God in the day-to-day. Same old, monotony. You know that when God has a calling on your life and he has a purpose for you, just like he did the Israelites, just like he did for Moses, just like he has, I believe, for every single one of you this morning, when there's a calling on your life, you can guarantee that there's a target on you as big as you can imagine for the enemy. When God wants to deliver you or to raise you up and to bring you into his high calling and high purposes, there's going to be blinking lights all over you for the enemy to attack you. And we, in order to get from Egypt to the promised land, we are going to have to learn to experience God every single day. I believe that for quite a few years, but I have seen, and actually probably I see more looking back than I do looking forward, but I've seen how the enemy has had a target on our family. I've seen how he's had a target on this church. And I've seen how he's had a target on many of your lives here. I can think of testimonies and things that we've processed together as a church family and individually back and forth. But I see how the enemy wants to destroy, steal, kill. He doesn't want you to get from Egypt to the promised land. He doesn't want it. And he will do everything in his power to stop you. And I have seen this happen in our family's life. And I want to tell you, though, that we as a family, even though we're leaders of this church, we have to learn to experience God just like you do. We're not above you. We're not like telling you, okay, do this, do that, and then we're immune to it. We are right there with you, learning to experience God with you. And several of you have traveled a journey with us, with our family, that has been very difficult at moments. Last week, those of you that were here last week heard our daughter, who is 24 years old, testify. She's with a missions agency now, and she's serving God, and she's on fire for God, and she was testifying of how she's learned to hear God's voice and all that. But some of you may not be aware that just 6 months ago, that daughter was so far from God. I can't even tell you how far from, I want to protect her a little bit, but she was very far from God. And our family, we've seen miracles, we've seen so many things happen, and we were on our face just saying, God, where are you? We've done our best to raise this child. We've infused her with the word of God. What's going on? Like, why is this child rebelling so drastically? And through her journey, which some of you walked through, Noelle left our home. And every time that we would see her, infrequently, but when we would see her, it was such a devastating experience for our family. Like, we would just look at her and we would just say, we've got to do something. We've got to do something. And we would cry. I would sob in front of her. I would beg her. I would read scripture to her. I'd warn her. I'd bribe her. I did everything in my power to make this girl change her heart. And one day, I was just so desperate, and she had stopped by to just say hello. And when she walked through the doors, our family just kind of looked at her, and literally I just said, we gotta have to do an intervention. I was so desperate. And I had just tried everything, and my brain was thinking, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? I can trap her here and not let her leave, I didn't know what to do. And I went away into this room all by myself when she was there, and I was sobbing, and I was sobbing. And I said, God, I'm at the end of my road with this young lady, my daughter, and God, I need to hear from you. I felt like we were, as a family, we had been struggling and struggling to bring her back. And I don't recommend this, and I don't say that this is a thing that you should do, but at the time, I just felt in my spirit, just open your Bible. And, you know, help people, you know, sometimes when you're down, you open and you go, boom, okay, that's my promise for the day. Well, that doesn't always work, right? But in this situation, I really felt prompted of God. And I opened my Bible, and I just said, God, I will do anything you ask me to do. Just, I need to hear from you because I'm desperate. And when I opened up to Ezekiel, and I went, oh, Ezekiel, there's nothing in here. Like, I thought I was going to go to Psalms or Proverbs or just something that would be like wisdom that would just come into me. I was like, Ezekiel, ugh. And I put my finger down, and I started to read. And this is what God said to me from Ezekiel. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I started right there. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. At that moment, I experienced God in just a supernatural way. And I immediately felt in my spirit that God said, let go. Let go. Stop. Stop doing all these like tantrums that you're doing, and let go and let me shepherd her. So I walked out of that room, and I just was as happy as I could be. And I know when I walked into the living room, Noelle expected me to have tears running down my face, and I just was filled with joy. Our whole family, I shared the scripture with our whole family, and God had individually spoken to each one of our family members and given them their own promise. But we shared our promises together. Then, in the few weeks later, things started to get worse. It was horrible. There was a moment when Melissa and I had gone out with Noelle, and we had taken her out to get something to eat, and she sat there and told us that she was homeless and that she was going to be living in her car. I was like, oh, God said, no, stop. I'm her shepherd. Don't you do anything. And I just saw things. I just started pain, suffering. It was like she was stripped of everything she had. And I'm not going to belabor the story, but through a process, she ended up coming home. Very weak and messed up. But she came home. At the same time that she came home, another girl moved into our house out of the blue, who just called and said, I need a place to stay. I'm working with YWAM in the city, and I need a place to stay. Can I stay at your house? We said, okay, our doors are open. And then I just stood back, and I just started to watch the chessboard. You know, the chessboard, when you start, the things start moving, and the strategy starts to happen. And I just saw God start to work. And we weren't doing anything. We weren't doing anything. And it was this girl started to, like, take Noelle under her wing, speak into her life. All kinds of things just started to happen. Like, you know, and anything that would hold her down was released. She lost her job. She did all these different things happened. And then this girl said, Noelle, how about you come to YWAM with me? And just, like, get away from here. And then just go and seek God. And at one point, one day, she got so desperate, she said, Mom, just buy me a ticket to Hawaii and I'll go. So I'm like, oh, I'm on the computer. But actually, I made her pay for it. God said, don't you pay for it. You make her pay for it out of her savings. And so anyways, through that, I mean, why she didn't just go to YWAM and then, like, miracle. I mean, it just didn't happen on the first day. It was a process. She called me several days into it and said, I want to come home. I hate it here. But we were just like, sometimes I didn't even answer the phone. I saw the caller ID and I'm like, no, not today. I'm not going to answer the phone. And you know what? God did miracles. He broke her. You know, it all starts with brokenness. We have to be broken to experience God. And I am telling you, God broke her. Just broke her. And little by little, once she was broken, God started to put the pieces back together. And I'm telling you, I have seen so much restored in her life. I kept thinking, you know, she's so broken. How, you know, will she ever be the same? Will she ever be the same again? She's more than the same. She's better than the same. And I expect such great things. So what I'm telling you, the point I'm trying to make this morning is that we have to experience God in the miracles, and we have to experience God when we're down in the gutter and nothing is going right. We need to learn how to experience God. Now, does that mean that you don't plan, or you just kind of wake up in the morning and go, okay, God, I'm going to experience you today. I'm going to sit here until I experience you. No, we make plans. We seek God. The scripture says to seek God and his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. And also in Proverbs, there's a scripture, and it says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So what I'm saying to you is this morning, when you want to experience God, what you do is you get up and you seek God, you make plans, but you're constantly looking. God, what are you doing? Like Pastor Dave said, God is always at work. God is always at work. And sometimes, like he said last week, when we are filled with the Spirit and we can tune into the Holy Spirit, he surprises us. Like that scripture that he gave me, that changed the way I did everything. That changed my life. Ezekiel 34, I want to say. 34. But God is always at work. So when we are facing difficulties, like the Israelites, if they just looked around and saw, they would see that God was still at work. God was still leading them. In the scripture that we read this morning, it said, God caused them to be hungry, and then he gave them manna. So sometimes in our lives, God allows us to be hungry. God allows us to experience pain. Why? Just because he's like likes to torture us? No, because he has something he wants to do in our lives. So when you're going through difficulties, like For instance, if you're going through a difficulty where you're experiencing pain, trouble, frustration, anger, stop and say, God, what are you doing in my life? God, what are you trying to say to me in my life? You're speaking to me, and how should I respond to you? We're so quick to want to, like, fix things ourselves, right? But what we need to do is just say, God, open my eyes to the things unseen. What are you doing in me and around me? And then just cooperate with God. To say, okay, God, doesn't maybe seem like something that makes sense to me, but I see you at work, and so I'm going to cooperate with you. Amen? And then we can celebrate in those victories, right? Because I'm telling you, every time I see Noelle now, I am just like celebrating in the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. But we also need to celebrate in the faithfulness of God even when we don't see the miracle. Amen? Amen.
Amen. She's cute too, isn't she? Sorry, Carol, I had to say it. You know, I want to continue on this family theme for us and how we've been experiencing God, because once you have a daughter who's away and then God brings her back, you have a sense of, okay, they're all back in the fold. You know, everyone's in relationship with God. Everyone's in relationship with each other. We're all safe. We've made it home. How many of you know that sometimes the target doesn't leave, okay? How many of you know that sometimes that doesn't mean? I thought that with my son. I really believe that with Jonathan. He was up at Bible college, had finished his first year, had finished going to a public school here in D.C., and I just thought he was in a beautiful, safe place, and he wouldn't really have a target on him or a struggle or anything. And yet, we share with you that we went through a struggle. Jonathan with us with Jonathan, over the last semester, the fall semester. And I want to share that with you a little bit of how the Lord worked through that, because it's, again, another example of experiencing God. Before I do that, though, I want to make mention about what Carol said about just because you know God is at work doesn't mean you're not at work. How many of you know experiencing God is a partnership? Did you know that? With a full participation on your part, it's just that God teaches you how to participate. Sometimes God tells you, sit down and don't worry about it. Sometimes God gives you directions, get up and do something about it. Can I give you an example of that from Scripture? Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They don't worry, but your Father feeds them. But if you notice how birds respond to that scripture, how they apply that scripture to their lives, birds don't hear that scripture. Oh, look at the birds of the air. You know, their Father feeds them. The birds don't interpret that, okay, I'm going to stay in my nest. I'm just going to stay there all day long in my nest. Birds go out and they look. See, the promise is that you, as you're going through life, as you're living life, as a full partner with God, that is when you will experience God. Amen? And so the birds are participating. They're out there flying, looking around. The promise is saying that when you look, you will find. Can you say amen? So it was interesting with Jonathan, because last semester we had an experience. He had an experience that neither he had ever had before or we had ever had with him. But it was a real trying experience for him, and it really was for all of us. What he went through affected his studies, affected his relationship with his friends, with his family, his spiritual well-being. He shared with us his plan to continue at the Bible college where he was, where he's preparing for ministry of whatever God has for him. All of that seemed to be changing. Everything that seemed to be happening seemed to be getting reversed, and much to our concern. And so we were trying at times to be what parents should be and be what siblings should be and grandparents should be, to investigate what was going on and understand what was happening. And then when we saw that maybe we didn't fully agree with certain things that he was considering, we would try to talk to him about what our thoughts were and what he should consider. And as we went through that process, to our dismay and his, instead of growing closer like we always had done, we started to grow further and further apart. In fact, Jonathan came home for Christmas, and about halfway through his break, he just decided that he was going to leave. And he was going to go up to New York, where we have some family and some of his other friends from Bible college. And he just left. He just decided he was going to leave. And it wasn't just one of these things where we understood it and we felt good about it. It was one of those things where it was just like there was such an issue in his life that became then an issue larger among his friends and there at the school and then here with his family. And in some ways, we felt like he was kind of putting himself out in a situation where he was a little bit vulnerable and a little bit in a place that it was precarious. And we were concerned for him as a result. And so at that point, I remember just like Carol and praying, going away to pray. I went that night. Jonathan said he was leaving the next morning. And I went that night. I really believe the Lord woke me up at 2:30 in the morning. And so I started to pray. And then I knew that he would be asleep. So I went into his room, and I just started to pray over him. And the good thing about Jonathan is, even though he talks in his sleep and all of that, he doesn't wake up for anything, all right? He doesn't wake himself up. You can't wake him up. He's a sound sleeper. And so I was in there, and I was just praying over him, and I was just believing God. Lord, I don't understand what's going on with him. I don't understand what external things have happened. I don't understand how he's responded to that. I don't understand why he's struggling with his relationship with his school and his friends and his family and all these things. But Lord, whatever it is, I just give him to you, God. I just believe that he's yours. And I was literally just casting my son upon the Lord. The Bible says, cast your cares upon God because he cares for you. And as I was praying for him, I felt like the Holy Spirit was lifting me. I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, you know what? I've got this. I've got this. I said, Lord, no matter what decisions he makes, as just a young man, a tender young man who's so zealous for you and all of that, whatever decisions he makes, if any of them are not the decision that you have for him, don't let it affect his calling. Don't let it affect his future. Lord, please watch over this young man. He's yours. And as I was praying, I was recognizing that I could give my heart to experiencing God for my son. I could just give my life to him. I believe my family saw, because there were times when my wife said to me, hey, Dave, you're coming on too strong, like you're trying too hard. You're trying too hard to get him to hear what you have to say, and you've got to give him some room to do that, even to make decisions that you don't agree with. And I had some of you that kind of counseled me in that way as well. And that's hard to do as a parent. By the way, it's easier to give advice than to take advice. How many of you know that, right? And so I just had to trust God for that. But you know what? The Lord came under me that. The Bible talks about being carried on wings of God like eagles. You know, we were concerned because we didn't have any conversation with him for several days into weeks. And the next thing we know, Jonathan calls us up, and he begins to tell us about how God really showed up when he was just ready to go back to school. He talked about how his cousin Jesse began to hear from the Lord for him and began to really feel a burden for him, and how he came to him and he said, Jonathan, you and I are real buds. We were roommates, and I just feel like the Lord's given me something that you need to hear. And he gave him a scripture, and frankly, the scripture that he gave him is not a very common scripture. He didn't give him John 3:16. He gave him some kind of scripture that I don't hear anybody quote, to be honest with you. It was one of those scriptures that you're like, oh, yeah, I know where that is, but I'd have to look it up again to see all that is around it, one of those scriptures. And when I heard Jonathan say that his cousin gave him that scripture, I knew that the Lord was working. But then Jonathan told me, and later on he told several other people this at the school and among his family. He said, then just the day after that, my friend, my good friend at school, his mom came to the school, and when she walked into the place, she immediately said, the Lord has given me a word for you. And the friend said, you know, my mom is not very much like that. She doesn't do a whole lot of that type of thing. But she said, Jonathan's friend said that the mom said, you know, this is what I want to say to him. And when she began to talk to him, Jonathan and the others told me that the Lord gave her the exact same scripture. A day removed. And the Lord began to guide Jonathan in a way. You know, we tried to speak to Jonathan, to communicate to him. And at some point, we felt like we couldn't really communicate to him. But you know what? In the end, God did. And we had to give them, Jonathan needs to experience God. You need to experience God. I need to experience God for ourselves. It's not enough for us to hear about God. We all need to individually experience God. And I'm so joyful right now because the Lord spoke to him. And God has established his way, has given him an understanding that not only can he stay where he is, but he can stay where he is with even greater blessings. In fact, I wanted to see what God did. So Wednesday I drove up there and I was with him hearing this story and experiencing it with some faculty members and some of his friends. And the whole time I was saying, Lord, here we are again. We as a family had some concerns about our family, but we're experiencing God. But it's not just collectively as a family, but individually, one by one, we are experiencing God. How many of you know we need to do that? Amen? We need to experience God, and we need to trust God that not only for our own lives, but also for our family, that people will experience God. Now, let me say this to you. I think you've gotten the point already, but let me give you another example to really drive it home. Sometimes the way you experience God is not the way you'd expect. Years ago, we were beginning a new ministry, and there happened to be people throughout the nation that were in our same situation, starting a new ministry in a place where there wasn't any ministry going on. And so we knew that it was going to be tough to get it started. And so when we heard that we had an opportunity for a conference, when we heard that there were going to be leaders there from the revival in Argentina, we began to have a great expectation that the Lord would move upon us during that conference and that the Lord would work through us to do amazing things in these various places where God had called us, some of them very, very tough places. And so we went to this conference after really the Lord leading us into a time of fasting and prayer in some ways like we had never experienced before. And we went to this conference and we experienced God. God came into that place. And there were people that were experiencing God. I talked to so many people. I remember one time when I was being prayed for that I literally felt a physical flame inside of my heart, just like a pilot light. Do all of you know what a pilot light is? It's that, you know, on your oven or your stove or whatever, it's that little light that you need before the rest of the fire comes, right? And I literally felt, physically felt, that there was a pilot light inside of my heart. I really felt like a flame inside of my heart burning. And I thought, this is really weird. And then you go through this mental checklist. What did I eat last night? You know, what am I worried about? And I was making a checklist and saying, no, this is not a natural thing. This is a supernatural thing. How many of you know when the Holy Spirit starts working in your life, surprises take place, right? And so I'm surprised saying, well, this is kind of interesting. And when the Lord began to make me recognize that it was him and not some other thing, I really had a sense of what God was doing. But I didn't share that with anyone, nor did anyone share with me confirmation of that. It was just something I believed inside. But I was surprised near the end of that conference to find out that there were many other people that were having a fire burning in their heart. They felt a burning. They felt their hearts on fire. And it was just an awesome thing that we had. And then a brother began to speak out in prophetic utterance. He began to speak in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as he said it, all of us that had this experience had a resounding amen. He said, the Lord is giving us burning hearts of passion. Burning hearts of passion for him and for those who don't know him. And all of us had a sense of, yeah, that's what I experienced. And we had this beautiful sense of God. And the Lord worked many miracles. God spoke to us. The evidence was when each of us went back all across the nation to the places where we were ministering, not only did the Lord bless ministry, but for that missions agency, it was to that point the greatest year of growth ever on record by far. And so there was great evidence that we were experiencing God. We knew it at the conference, but when we went back over the next year, God opened up doors of ministry, expanded ministries. Ministries that are 100 grew to 400-500, even 700-800. Those ministries that didn't exist were immediately born in really tough places where to that point had never started before. God did that. God was at work, and we were experiencing God. Let me tell you another thing that happened in that conference. A lot of people were prayed for, and they fell. Like logs, you know, or trees that you cut down. I fell. One time when I got prayed for, I got prayed for, and I went back off of my feet, and I just, it was like somebody just picked me up. Like this. I remember there was this really tall brother there that was standing with his little baby. And when we were falling in the power of God's Spirit, in the power of God's Spirit, in the awesomeness of his presence, when we were falling, there was such a peace about it because we knew it wasn't made up. It wasn't conjured up. It wasn't like we were trying to, you know, do something great for God. It was just what God was doing with us. And so I saw this guy, and he was about to be prayed for, and he had his little baby. And I thought, I better go over and take care of that baby, because if this guy falls, that baby's in for trouble. And then I thought, no, if God's going to do something, God's going to take care of both big, tall dad and the baby. So I just stayed back. I didn't feel like catching him or the baby. And sure enough, he was prayed for. And when he was prayed for, I was watching. And it was like that. And you know, it was almost like it was choreographed. I saw people that as he was falling, they just walked by and they just collected the baby. Just like this. Like it was choreographed. Like it was like, we knew you're going to fall. We come in, we take baby, you fall, everything's okay. It was one of those amazing moments. At the end of the conference, we began to process what God had done. And this is the important part of the story for you to hear as far as learning today about experiencing God. The question was asked, when we go back to our respective ministries, what do we do now as a result of what we've experienced here? And this great leader from Argentina, such wisdom because he had been so many years in revival, and he had learned so much from God, and submitted himself humbly to God, here's how he responded to that question. He said, when you go back to your ministry, don't bring, there were two major things, the heart's burning and the falling. He said, when you go back to your ministries, don't bring falling to your ministries. Don't bring burning, hearts that are burning to your ministries. Bring the Holy Spirit to your ministries. And let the Holy Spirit do whatever he's going to do. You see, it's important for you to know that when you're experiencing God, it might be something different than what you think. I believe that as a church, can we go to the next slide? I believe as a church, we're experiencing God. I firmly believe this. I firmly believe that the 21-day consecration that we experienced, that we're going to experience this year even more than we experienced last year because of how it's working out logistically for us and the other churches that are getting involved, I believe that's a whole work of the Holy Spirit. I've never experienced anything like that. I have never experienced people coming together without a preacher, without a teacher, without a worship team, without a worship leader, a choir, any of those things, and just watch people begin to be convicted by the Holy Spirit of things in their life that are not pleasing to God, and then coming and getting clean. About a week ago, I went to a follow-up meeting with a group of leaders, and they began to give testimony. And the two main churches that were there, other than there were three churches where we met, and the two of those other churches said, our church will never be the same. They said, God has completely transformed who we are. The testimonies are ongoing like we've never experienced before. One pastor had said before that conference, I was ready to quit. I just couldn't go on anymore. He said, I wouldn't even think of it now because of all the things that God is doing. When you experience God, adventure starts. Excitement starts. There were people in that conference that the Lord convicted. There were two people who had come to Christ, and nobody knew that in their background was murder. And on those nights, publicly, they began to say, God, I've done this, and I'm sorry. People were confessing about Roe versus Wade, the 40-year anniversary is right on. People were saying, God, I had an abortion. I paid for somebody to have an abortion. We shed innocent blood. Please forgive us. Nobody does that without the Spirit of God. It's too much of a sensitive issue. It's too divisive politically. Nobody does it. But when you're in the comfort of God, when you're in the presence of God and the Holy Spirit is working, people can be open and get free and ask God for forgiveness and be healed. And that's what only God can do. And I don't know about you, but I want to experience God some more. You know what? We met together about a year ago, coming up on a year ago. And we changed the name of our church. That's not what I want to talk about right now. But we named our building. According to how God had been leading us, we named our building the Christian Center. And we did that believing that the Holy Spirit had been so clear with us that the Lord was not only going to bless this church in this building, but the Lord was going to do what he's done here in years past. He was going to bless the larger body of Christ right here in this building. And while he's blessing the larger body of Christ, he will even more so bless this local congregation. Do you know what I believe? I believe the 21-day consecration coming here last fall and the 21-day consecration coming here again, and then beginning this Tuesday, just 2 days from now, David's tent, as you heard last week, will be here for 45 days. Every night of the week for 45 days from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. worshiping God and praying for revival. Do you know what I believe in my spirit? I believe in my spirit that we're experiencing God as a church here. We are experiencing God as a local congregation, and we are beginning to experience the first fruits of the fulfillment of God's promise that this place would be a Christian center, a center for prayer 24/7, a center for ministry training, a center for birthing churches, urban ministry, all of these things. And I believe that the fact that the 21 day is starting to move here, and then the 45 day that's coming is only the first fruits of what God is going to pour into this place as we experience God together. Now, if you're kind of excited about God, you can feel free to give him some praise with both of your hands right there. Amen. God is awesome. We might have some trials to go through as a church, just like we have some trials to go through as a family. But we don't have to worry about that if we just keep on trusting God to experience God. Can you say amen? We might have some growing pains. I don't know about you, but families have problems. Even church family have issues sometimes with each other. But the reality is that when you give that to God, you can experience God. Amen? You can experience the unfolding of his plan. Hey, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what to expect. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. The Lord's given us some principles. We're going to experience some glory. Remember that? We're going to experience some suffering. We're going to experience the glory of God, the presence of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. We're also going to experience some suffering. Do you remember what Jason Hershey said about the great work of God here and then outside the raging storm? Do you remember all that? We've heard it from the Lord. We know some principles about what to expect and what it's going to look like. But other than that, we don't have a clue, and that's a part of the excitement. We don't know what God is going to do, but we can expect some surprise, surprise, surprise. Can you say amen? Now, for those of you who are wondering why I came up with a surprise, 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 you probably weren't here last week, and you might not know the reference there, but we can still have fun. Amen? Let's turn to the last slide. And then, Vinicius, I'm going to ask you to come with your worship team and just to lead us again in that song. What was the last song that you sang? God's Faithful. Man, what a powerful song. Come and get ready. Can you, worship team, can you come and get ready? Every week, without fail, no matter who is leading worship, whether it's Renan or Julius or Vinicius or whoever's leading worship, every week without fail, I hear a theme in their worship that is about what I'm going to preach. And we don't collaborate ahead of time on those things. And I just know the Holy Spirit. So again this morning, I heard two songs. One I heard was, his ways are beyond finding out. His thoughts are higher than ours. He is God, to whom, through whom, for whom are all things. And I'm sitting there listening to that and saying, that's what we're talking about today. You might be a Christian, but you don't need just to be a Christian. You need God. You might have already come to Christ and received salvation. That doesn't change the fact that you need God. Amen? You need God today. You need God tomorrow. And so I'm listening to that saying, that's the Lord. But then when we sang that last song about the faithfulness of God and the scars and all those things, I thought, how did he know what I was speaking on this morning when he selected those songs? But it happens every week. I want to read this scripture before they lead us. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 4. Let's stand again. I like that where we were reading together. Let's stand. Read this scripture with us together, okay? Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers. You can read out loud together like we did before, okay? Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And here began the spread of the gospel around the world. It was birthed in Jerusalem, it was launched in Antioch, and it all happened, surprise, surprise, by the power of the Holy Spirit. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. How many of you want that experience? While you're worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. Amen? Let's worship the Lord. Amen.